So we're on volume 12, 1920. Eternal Majesty, I come to your feet in the name of the whole human family, from the first to the last man of the future generations, to adore you profoundly. So here, from the first to the last of the future generations. See, everything changes because of Louisa. The whole creation changes. It cannot be the same. And so what the Lord is asking us to do is to learn how to pray this with her in order to bring about this drastic change from living in human misery to living in the divine will of God. At your most holy feet, I want to seal all the adorations of everyone, past, present, and future. I come to recognize you, Lord, in the name of everyone, as creator and absolute ruler of everyone. I come to love you for everyone and for each one. I come to return to you for everyone because of each created thing which you placed so much love that the creature will never find enough love to repay you in love. But in your most holy divine will, I find this love and wanting that my love as well as the other acts be completed full and for everyone. I have come into your divine will where everything is immense and eternal, where I can find love to be able to love you for everyone. See, most of the prayer today is, please, 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 I need this, I need that, they need this, they need that, please, 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 please. And that's not what prayer is. Prayer, to know how to pray, it's acts, A-C-T-S. You adore, you're contrite, you're thankful, and then you supplicate. Okay? But it's to adore God first, to be thankful to God. I mean, to be contrite, to be thankful to God, and then finally your supplications. But people don't know how to pray. So what Jesus is doing is he's saying, I'm going to show you the way I prayed. And all his prayer was, I adore you, I love you, I praise you, I thank you, I bless you, I worship you. That's the prayer. And as you fall into this, I love you, you begin to live the I love you. You begin to live heaven on earth. It's no longer gimme, 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 but I adore you, I love you, because you are God. I praise you because you are God. You are almighty, you are all powerful, you are all knowing, you are all loving, you're omnipotent, you're omnipresent, you are everything. See, the human is so corrupt that we give awards to everybody. For sports, for theater, for entertainment, for writing. You know, everybody gets an award, you know. The best, you know, even in the military, you get medals and pins. The one who has to be adored is God. The one that has to be loved is God. And we have to be, when you genuflect, you just don't bounce off your knee. Why do you genuflect? You bow your knee, you bend your knee, you bow your head, and you say to the king, my life is yours. Do with me as you will. You want my head off? You want to cut my head off? Cut it off. You can't defend yourself when you're genuflecting. You can't defend yourself when you're kneeling. So it's to recognize when you come into genuflectus, I adore you, I love you, I praise you, I thank you, I bless you. When you bless yourself, Father, bless me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. You're saying to God, you are almighty. You are everything. When his name is mentioned, you bow your heads. Every knee will bend. Every head will bow. You want to give the love and the reverence to our God. I mean, we really have to, when we receive Holy Communion, you receive Holy Communion to become another Christ. I mean, we're going to have to pay for every communion that we've had where we did not become like Christ. That's what God expects. Where more is given, more is expected. You know, why haven't we changed into another Christ? You know, it's because we got our own will that we want to do. So God is asking us, pleading with us to let go of everything and now I'm going to give you more. I'm going to fill you with divine life. So again, how glorious is this? Our God wants us to possess this. I mean, just read this. I mean, this is just an amazing thing. Volume 20, 9:20-26. My Jesus, my love, the day is now beginning, and in your divine will I want to make my round through all creatures, so that in rising from their sleep, all creatures may rise in your most holy divine will, to give you, Jesus, the adoration and of all intelligence, to give you, Jesus, the love of all hearts, so that the rising of their works and of all their beings into the light that this day will make shine over all human generations. See, it's the divine will isn't taking the book and giving it to somebody. That's not divine will. That's what the saints did with their prayers. The divine will is living it. You live it, and then somebody in China begins to live it. You live it, and somebody in India begins to live it. God does it. You don't have to go around, and you don't have to hand anything to anybody. It's the Lord is teaching people how to live this. So if you're living it, other people will live it. As you grow in the knowledge of it, other people are then have the capacity to read. They'll have the ability to understand. As you learn it, others begin to learn it. I remember in 1996, I think it was 96, the Archbishop Piceri said, you know, basically, you've been promoting the divine will in a human way. The divine will has to be promoted in a divine manner. And I went, what in the heck is a divine manner? You know, I had no idea. But what he meant by that is you have to live this, and then God makes other people live in it. He begins to open them up to this gift. So our job is to live it, okay, to love this, to possess this. And as you live it, it's not only your family, but your friends, your neighbors, everybody starts being attracted to it. Why? Because you're living the life of Jesus. You're living the life of Mary. How? Through Louisa. Volume 20, 11:1-26. Jesus. So in making your round in creation, when you, Louisa, arrive at the heavens, you too, united with our divine will, love and glorify our eternity, our unshakable being that never changes, and pray that it may render souls firm in good, that the souls may be the reflection of the heavens, and they may enjoy happiness brought about by a good that is continuous and never is interrupted. So here, to enter into divinity, to enter into a divine life. Now, no one possesses this at this point. Nobody does. I've heard people say that they are doing divine acts. Father Bucci says, anybody says that they're doing divine acts are fooling themselves. Only God can do a divine act. We want to participate in this gift. We want to get close to Louisa. We want to know Louisa so that we can possess what God breathed into her. But we have to prove to Jesus that this is the life we want. It's not just reading and just saying, well, now I have it. It's not just saying, well, I'm doing divine acts. That's foolish. It's to prove to Jesus that you want to be one with Louisa who possesses this gift. You know, that's our job. He says this, a happiness brought by good that is continuous and never interrupted. This is a divine life. Volume 19, 9:13-26. Supreme Majesty, your little daughter Louisa comes before you on your paternal knees to ask you for your fiat, that your kingdom, that it be known by everyone, past, present, and future. Now, the interesting thing about this is why you want to be with Louisa. Louisa actually was on the paternal knees of God. She was actually there. This is not just a thought that she's talking about. So when we're with Louisa on her lap, then we are also on the lap of God that she's sitting on. See, this is why it's so important to be with Louisa. Louisa is the one that has this. I don't have this. But she actually is on the paternal needs of the Father. She's asking for the kingdom. She wants the kingdom to be known by all. So we are participating in this life of Louisa. I ask you, Jesus, for the triumph of your divine will, that it may dominate and reign over all. I I am not the only one who asks this of you, but with me are your works. With me are your very divine will. Therefore, in the name of all, I ask, I plead for your fiat, that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So here we're going to learn how to pray the prayers of Louisa. Jesus says that we are called to echo her prayers. This is very, very important that we echo the way Louisa spoke. Not making up our own prayers. I've heard people make up their own prayers, and I just go, my goodness, have you ever read Divine Will? I mean, where are you getting these prayers? Well, Louisa said it. No, Louisa didn't say that. You know, we have to echo, we have to speak and pray the way Louisa did. To be in God's image and likeness is to do what God does. God breathed these words into Louisa. So to echo what Jesus breathed into Louisa is to do what God has asked Louisa to do. So don't make up your own prayers. And again, a lot of people have done that with their round of creation, their round of redemption, which are nice, but it's not Louisa's prayers. So we have to get back to who is this? If she is so important, how come you have your own prayers? If she is so important to Jesus, then we have to begin to, you know, I want to speak the way she speaks. I want her accent. When Jesus looks at me, I want him to see Louisa Picaretta, the little daughter of the divine will. I want to respond to God the way she did. Let's see. Okay. So therefore, in the name of all I ask, I plead for your fiat. Volume 23, 12, 1, 27. I continued my act in the divine fiat, and I was feeling that I was not doing them well. I prayed my celestial Mama Mary to come to my help, that I might be able to follow the supreme volition that Our Lady had loved so much, and from which Our Lady recognized having received all her glory and the heights in which Our Lady finds herself. So again, Louisa was taught by Jesus and Mary. It's always, when you see Jesus, you always see Mary. So here is how we're supposed to be too. The Sacred Heart and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. It's very, very important. Volume 35, 9, 12, 37. As I was wandering around in the blue vault, thinking to myself, this heaven serves as the vault for the residents of the earth, as a pavement for the celestial residents. So since it serves everyone, all have the duty to adore the one triune God, who with so much love created the celestial vault to give to us. So I called on all the angels, all the saints, and all the residents of earth with me, so that all would return love, adoration, glory, and thanksgiving to our Creator God, for He loved us so much that He, Triune God, gave us this heaven. In the divine will, I could call and embrace everyone as if all were one and all loved with me. So again, this is your prayer becomes so powerful because you're praying in the name of everyone, past, present, and future, all the angels, all the saints, the Blessed Mother, Jesus Himself. Everybody's praying together with your voice. God hears everyone with your voice. I adore you. I love you. I praise you. I thank you. This is an explosion of I love yous going to the throne of God. All of mankind, whoever existed, is praising God, loving God, adoring God, worshiping God. See, what with an I love you. So all these I love yous, with every heartbeat, with every breath, with every thought, word, and deed of every creature, or with every animal, vegetable, and mineral, for every leaf on a tree, blade of grass, grain of sand, drop of water, all these I love yous are going to the throne of God. And then it's calling the kingdom of God on earth. When this happens, the devil has to leave. He can't stay here. This is our job. Our job is to call fire from heaven so that the devil goes. It's the eternal life of God found in the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. This love of God is going to come upon the earth. And the devil is going to be gone. The children of God will not be ripped apart by the teeth of the demons anymore. It's going to stop. God has given us that responsibility. So it's, again, you're not just praying for your family. I know your families have troubles. that that's not why we're here. We pray for the, in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, so that everyone gets to heaven. We want to bring about the new heavens and the new earth that Jesus and Mary want. And it's our responsibility. So again, as you stop focusing on yourself and start focusing on the love of God, which Jesus teaches Louisa, the earth changes. It really just changes. Okay, so if all were one and all loved with me, or all loved with my voice, I mean, God hears every soul when we say, I pray in the divine will, in the name of everyone and everything. God hears everyone say, I love you. With every heartbeat, I love you. With every breath, I love you. With every step, I love you. With every eye blink, I love you. See, it's God who is leading us, guiding us, directing us. Because with those I love yous of God, the devil is being driven out. He can't stay here any longer. Volume 23, 122, 28. I, Luis, was making my round in the divine fiat, and I wanted to overwhelm everything. Heaven. Whoops, sorry, I missed one. 5:23, 12:6, 37. As I'm following the acts of the divine will, as I arrived at the blue vault dotted with stars, I called with me the residents of heaven and all the residents of the earth, so that together we could repay with our little love. Did I read this?
No.
Okay. It sounds so familiar. With our little love, the love of God, with so much love, he created the expanse of the heavens to cover us, hide us inside his love. All of us, with no exception, have the duty to love the one God who loved us so much. You see, it's our whole being. God breathed into dirt so that he could give dirt image and likeness of God, so that the dirt could love with God's love. I mean, beat with God's heart beating. I mean, that's how much God loves us. He created us out of nothing, made us creatures to give to us his divine life. And so why are we here? We're here to, we have a duty and obligation to love God, praise God, glorify God. That's why when you're in front of the Blessed Sacrament, you represent everybody. And everything you say in the name of everyone, everything, God hears. He is getting ready for his kingdom to be established on earth in exactly the way it's in heaven. So this is an amazing thing that God wants for us. Volume 23, 122, 28. I, Louisa, was making a round of the divine fiat, and I wanted to overwhelm everything, heaven and earth, that all might have one single will, one single voice, one single heartbeat, all of God. And I wanted to animate everyone, past, present, and future, with my voice, so that everyone, past, present, and future, might say together with me, we want the kingdom of your divine will on earth as it is in heaven. And in order to obtain this, I wanted to be the sea. I wanted to make the water speak. I wanted to be the sun to give my voice to the light. I wanted to be the heavens to animate the stars and make everyone say, your kingdom come, your fiat be known. I wanted to penetrate into the celestial regions to make all the angels, all the saints of the very celestial mother say, adorable Trinity, hurry, delay no more. We pray you, we press you, that your king, your divine will be known, that the divine will may reign on earth as it does in heaven. Do you see our prayer? It's not gimme, gimme, gimme. It's to adore God, love God, praise God, so that everyone can participate in God. That's why we were created, to participate in the Almighty, to become God in God's image and likeness. Volume 26, 6-14, 29. Adorable Majesty, I come before you to bring you my little interest of my I love you, I adore you, I glorify you, I thank you, I bless you. Do you see how we're supposed to be praying? In the name of everyone and everything, Jesus, let everyone be heard with my voice. I adore you, I love you, I praise you, I thank you, I bless you, I worship you. To give you my little interest, because you have given me a heaven, you have given me a sun, an air, a sea, a flowering earth, and everything that you have created for me. Once you told me that each day you want me to do the accounts with me and to receive the small interest of mine so that we may always be in agreement and keep the whole of creation given to me by you as little daughter of your divine will, safe inside the little bank of my soul. So again, when we look at the sunset, it belongs to us. When we look at the moon, it belongs to us. When we look at the clouds, they belong to us. He created everything for the love of us. And no one can see the moon as you see it. No one can see the stars as you see them. It's all, you know, so specific that God has created you, where you are, how you're looking at it. Even the colors are different for each person. Everybody sees something slightly different. And this is what God is, he's asking us, that uniqueness that we have to adore him, to love him, to praise him in the name of everyone and everything, as if everyone was looking at the moon or looking at the stars or looking at the ocean at that moment from your perspective. But they are all seeing it from their perspectives. But again, they're praising God, loving God, adoring God, worshiping God through your voice. God hears all of mankind. How much he loves us. That he is expecting from us more than really he is expected from all the saints combined. Volume 33, 10:4-35. I was making my round of the divine will in order to search out all the acts done in creation so as to place my little I love you and to unite myself with all created things in order to glorify my creator and to be able to say, I am at my place of honor. I do my office. I am a continuous act of the divine will. I can say that I am nothing, I do nothing, but I do everything because I do everything in the divine will. And it looks like you're doing nothing. And again, why? Because you're one with Louisa. Volume 35, 10:37. I was making a round in the creation in order to trace all the acts of the divine volition and making them mine, hug them, adore them, and place my little I love you in recognition of how much the divine will loved me and did for me and for everyone, past, present, and future. See, as you walk outside, you can be in the Garden of Eden. As you walk outside and recognize the I love yous that God has given to you, and then you, in the name of everyone, give those I love yous back to God with your I love you. You read the beginning of volume 26. Louisa says, Jesus says to Louisa, the garden that you're in is a simile of the Garden of Eden. It's not as beautiful, but you're there because why? I want you to begin to praise me and love me and glorify me as Adam did. In the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. So no matter where you are, God has given you a little space in order to adore him. Even if it's looking through a window. Adore him, love him, praise him, thank him, glorify him. In the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. So that the kingdom is established on earth as it is in heaven. See, our job is a glorious job. The round of creation with Louisa. Volume 17, 5:10-25. I wandered my round in all created things. I impressed in them one I love you for the supreme majesty, as though wanting to fill the whole atmosphere, every sphere, every celestial sphere with as many I love yous as I possibly could. I love you in glory, in the air, in everything. I love you in the light of the sun. I love you in the drop of the light. I love you in each ray. I love you in every flame. I love you in the fecundity of the sun. See, see, you have to fall in love with God. And you fall in love with God by falling in love with God. You have to be saying, I love you, I love you, I love you, to the point where you know that you love God. See, you have to fall in love with God. And the only way you can fall in love is by seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting the I love yous that he has placed all around you. And then returning your I love you back to him. You have to begin to hear Jesus, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit saying to you, I love you. And you got to return, I love you Then you got to hear him say, I love you. And then you got to breathe back out, I love you, with every heartbeat. I love you. I love you with every breath. I love you. I love you with every walk, every step. You see, it's got to be, that competition has to be there. We have to, you know, not just pray prayers. You have to fall in love with God. You have to fall in love with Him. And the thing about it is, you know, He will overwhelm you with His love. Because you can't outdo God in generosity. You can't outdo God with I love you. He will overpower you with His I love you. But you see, you have to begin to put yourself in that situation where you love God. I love you. In the name of everyone, everything. I want a billion trillion I love yous going up to the throne of God with my voice. I love you. I praise you. I thank you. I bless you. I adore you. I worship you. In the name of everyone and everything, for every heartbeat that ever beat, for every breath that was ever taken, for every step that ever was ever took, we want to adore you, love you, praise you, thank you, bless you. And what happens at that point, like I said before, is the devil has to go. He can't stay here. In every atom, in the light of the sun that comes down, my I love you and glory. I want to enter into the sun in order to find the divine will operated in its light so as to give everyone, to give to it all the beauty, all the purity, all the holiness, all the power that the human will operates in the light that it can contain. I come into the sun to keep company with your divine will, reigning and dominating in it, in the splendor of its majesty. But while I keep you company in the sun, I pray you that your eternal fiat be known to by me first. And just as it reigns triumphantly in the sun, that it may come to reign triumphantly in the midst of all souls on earth. See, this is our job. It's to bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. It's the fulfillment of the Our Father which God gave to Louisa. And now God is offering that same gift to us. Louisa has done all the work, and it's going to happen. It's a divine decree. Yet God is saying, I want to give you what I gave to Louisa. Do you want this gift? And all we say is yes. And then we cooperate with God. We cooperate with Jesus and Mary through Louisa, so that we can help Louisa bring about the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. This is what God is looking for. Your divine will envelops everything, and oh, how I wish that just as the sun rises and invests all the earth with its light, so may your sun of your divine will rise in the intellects, the words, the hearts, the works, the steps of all souls, so that each of them may feel the sun of your fiat rise within themselves, and letting themselves be invested with its light, the divine will dominate and reign in their souls. Making my round the stars, in the stars, in each flickering light, in each glittering, in each twinkling of light, I impress my I love you and glory to my Creator. That's volume 17. That's a real good one to pray every day if you can. That's a good way to start volume 17, May 17th, 1925. I want to enter into the azure of heavens in order to embrace it and to give it my will operating in the vastness of the heavens and the multiplicity of the stars, to give it the glory, the love of a heaven of many profound acts of adoration, for as many are as are the stars, and so I follow in all created things. It's really to begin to live this I love you of God. It really is. In the whole expanse of the heavens and the blue heaven, between the distance from one step to another in their immensity, may I love you in glory. Going down into the sea and its murmurings, into the depth of the ocean, I want to fill every darting of the fish with an I love you, with every drop of water with an I love you, with its waves with my I love you and glory. In the warblings, I love you. In the flight, I love you. In the singing of the birds, I love you. In the beating of its wings, I love and glory to my Creator. I want to impress my I love you on the wings of the wind. I love you in the moving leaves. I love you in every spark of fire. I love you for myself and for all. I love you in the blade of grass which sprouts from the earth. I love you in the flower that blooms. I love you in its fragrance that ascends, love and glory. I want to flow in the flowery fields to give the glory and adoration of their fragrances. There is not one point in which I do not want to present, so that everything, you, Jesus, may feel your little daughter adoring you, loving you, glorifying you. See, it's to pray, Saint Francis said, prayer is joy. Perfect prayer is joy. What Jesus is now showing us is perfect prayer is love. To enter into this I love you of God through Louisa. I love you in the plants. I love you in the leaves. I love you in the flowers. I love you in the fruits. I love you in the smallest insects. I love you in the littlest flowers. I love you carries the marks of novelty. I love you in the peaks of the mountains. I love you in the depths of the valley. I love you in the darkest abysses. It's interesting. This volume 17 is a great one to pray. I love you. I love you in glory. Jesus, my love, I want to leave all of my being in your fiat so that I may find myself in all created things. To pearl them with my I love you. Even more, I want to place my heart in the center of the earth. And as I palpitate, I want to embrace all of its inhabitants, flowing all of their heartbeats with my I love you. I want to give you the love of each soul. And as my heartbeat is repeated from within the center of the earth, I want to place my I love you in all the seeds that the earth encloses in its womb. As the seeds sprout and plant, herbs and flowers are formed, I want to place them in them my I love you, that I may see them enclosed in my I love you for Jesus. Do you see how important that is? To really enter into the love of God, to enter into God, to participate in God. It's not just to stand outside of God, but to enter into God, to recognize the I love you of everything that's around us, and then reciprocate our I love you back to God. He says very clearly, I would have wanted to place my loving and grateful kiss upon all created things and my little I love you on all the supreme acts of the divine volition so as to remain bound, I to them and they to me, to be able to surround my Jesus and me with all the acts of the divine will, the eternal divine will. So again, it's to be part of the beatific vision, to enter into that beatific vision while on earth. This is why Louisa did not, it's not a locution, it's not an apparition, it's not a vision. Louisa entered into God, participated in God. And that's what God is offering to us. So it's not anything that the saints can tell you. The saints can give you little hints. The great novels of the saints. So they give you little teeny hints of what the divine will is about, but they don't know the divine will because they didn't have Louisa. Okay, we have Louisa, so God is calling us to a higher degree of sanctity than the saints. He's calling us to the sanctity of sanctities, which is the great gift of the divine will. So what is God asking? He's asking us to go to little Louisa, to plead with her, to beg her, to be one with her. Again, I love you, Lord Triune God. I love you in everything that you have done for love of us. I was fusing myself together with my sweet Jesus in his divine will to multiply my thoughts with his and to line myself up over each thought of soul of a soul so that I too might give to my God as many acts of homage, of glory, of love for all the thoughts of each creature, so that I might glorify my Creator as an act so solemn, to love him, to adore him, to thank him for a love so excessive and overflowing toward man. Again, this is you have to imagine that you look at the lives of the saints and great, great, heroic saints. Yet Jesus says, "I want more. I want more." And he says, now is the time for sanctification. So he's asking us to basically take the place of everyone, past, present, and future. All the angels, all the saints, all those that will ever live, to adore him profoundly, to love him the way God loves himself. And this means that we have to let go of the holy things, the good things, the saintly things. I mean, it's Jesus says, "I want more. I want to give you more. I want more." And so, if we are, see, it's comfortable to stay with the saints because we know them, we love them, they're like us. We want to be like them. But Jesus says, "I don't know. I want you to be like me. I don't want you." I mean, we've learned the prayer of Francis, Ignatius, Teresa. We've learned all the beautiful prayers. And Jesus says, "I want more." So what has he done? He's given us Luisa Picaretta. He's given us the Book of Heaven through her. He's given us the Hours of the Passion. He's given us the Virgin Mary and the Kingdom of the Divine Will. And he's asking us, pleading with us to let go of the everything that we have held on to for 2,000 years and now to begin to embrace something divine. And again, nobody possesses it at this point because nobody has proved to Jesus that we want this. So that's our job. Our job is to read, to study, put this in practice, to prove to Jesus Christ that this is the life we want. So I follow the supreme will in the act in which the divine being was about to create Adam, so that I too, together with my first father Adam, might love him, triune God, with the same love with which Adam loved God in the first instant of creation. I wanted to receive that same divine breath, that outpouring of love, in order to give back the "I love you" to my Creator. I was continuing my round in the divine fiat and paused. See, now she's gone back to Eden. This is not a pious thought. This is a reality. This is where she is. And we can also be in the garden. Don't limit what God wants to do to you. Don't say, "Well, that's impossible." God says, "Fine, it is impossible for you." See, God goes to those, I mean, there's two types of responses to God. Zechariah's response, "Yeah, sure, I'm going to be the father at my age." God says, the angel said, "You're mute." Then Mary's response, "How can this be? How can I please God?" She wanted to know what she needed to do to let God have his way with her. She goes, "I don't know, man. How is this going to happen?" She was eager to do God's will. And it's the same thing here. God wants to give this gift to those that want, who are eager to do his will. Who wants to live in his holy divine will? Who wants to possess this? So when I read and God says, "You know, I want you to share in my divinity," I go, "I don't know how you're going to do it, but I'm game. Let it be done to me as you say. I don't know how you're going to do it, but let it be done. I want your will to be done." And that's what God is looking for. Who is docile? Who is surrendered? Who is submissive? You know, but once we put up a doubt, God says, "Fine, I can't do anything more." And the sad part about that is, once the doubt is there, it doesn't leave. It's almost like a permanent doubt. That's why the divine will is for those that say fiat. Those that doubt, it's basically over for them, because God can't move that doubt. That doubt is like a wall that's there, and maybe you go around it, or maybe but it's there. A lot of the people that I've known who've come in with questions and doubts, leave with questions and doubts. But they leave because they can't say fiat. See, the divine will is just fiat. Let it be done as you say. You know, I know some very bright people in the church, and they can't believe this. They just cannot believe this. And God says, fine, it's not for you. We have to be surrendered. We have to be docile. The more we can say fiat, the more God can fill us. I was continuing my round of the divine fiat, pausing in Eden, and I was adoring the supreme will in the act of creating Adam in order to unite myself to that union of wills which existed between God and Adam when he was created. Now, you can also participate in this. Don't limit yourself to your understanding. And that's what happens a lot of times. A lot of people go to priests and they say, you know, we heard this about the divine will. The priests go, that's nonsense. And they go, fine. And that's their excuse not to do anything more with the divine will, because the priest said it's nonsense. But did the priest ever read the divine will? Was it explained correctly of what was said? I mean, people have said to me, you said this, Father. I said, I never said that. Yes, you did. You said this. I never said that. You said this. And I look at him, I go, you know, what did you hear? I never said that. You know, I heard you right out of your mouth. You said, so, I mean, it's like, you can't fight that. You know, it's read it and read it. I remember this one person from California said, send me all the volumes. I said, why do you want the volumes? I want to teach the divine will. I said, well, why don't you read for at least 20 years and then begin to understand what this is about? You can't teach it. You know, and first of all, you're not a priest. You can't teach it. You know, that's where people are. Unfortunately, this is so beautiful. God's going to do such marvelous things to the world for the souls who live in the divine will. And all he's asking of us is to give our fiat. That's all he's asking. So you can go to the Garden of Eden, and you can be there when God created Adam. You can watch God breathe into Adam. You could watch it. I mean, this is the most amazing thing. There's nothing that can prevent you from being there. The only thing that can prevent you from being there is you. It's not just a pious thought. It is a reality. So we'll end there, and we'll finish up in a bit.